Go home, tell it on the mountain, over those hills and everywhere. Go home, tell it on the mountain.
All right, so I just was thinking how cool the body of Christ is and how diverse. I was reading an article about Bethel Church, and you know, sometimes within the different factions of Christianity and different parts of the body, even just like with any relationship, it takes work to understand. And this guy had just gone to witness a few things about the church and tell the tale, I guess. You know, and when it comes to what we're talking about and how we go about seeking wisdom, we can understand that, or we can, from the onset, we can understand that any progress is going to come with a certain amount of tension or a certain amount of discrepancy or a certain amount of, well, I wouldn't do it that way, and what's that about, and why are they like this? We are, you know, Americans are kind of a cushioned culture, and I say this really, you know, with love. Everything's so easy and so easily attained, you know, from fast food to, you know, streamlining the making of cars in the factory. Everything, you just, if it's not fast, we don't want it. If we can't just click on the program, we lose interest. If we can't just see it flash in front of our face, like Facebook or Instagram, it must not be worth our time. And it's not accurate, because you never get any further with people than, well, what are they going to present to me? And the article is really interesting. He goes through, you know, he doesn't just go one day or one service and then take off. It was like for a week, or I think, or something like that. And there was a little bit of difference between what, obviously, what he was used to and what was going on there. And, but he left not, but he entered not predisposed to, or not, yeah, he had, there were things that he had heard about it, but he went wanting to understand. But he didn't lose, you didn't get the feeling that he lost himself within it either. And when we talk about boundaries, and we know these magi in Matthew 2 had a boundary, because when, and they had an agenda, because they had a Godward agenda. They had a kingdom focus. Because when the king, they weren't trying to schmoozle up to the king. They weren't trying to make the king do what they wanted. They were simply asking, you know, redirecting everyone around them without even doing it on purpose. It was just that they were kingdom centered. They enter into hometown. There should be some kind of parade or homecoming parade or something going on. Nothing. No one knows anything. They come in. We read it yesterday. They ask, you know, where is he who's been born king of the Jews? Like, duh, where are you people? And the king is beside himself, because this was a shock. He thinks that his authority is going to be usurped. He thinks of this child as a threat. And He goes into action just as the Magi are in. You know what? And this brings up another point. If you are not going forward, somebody will take over your agenda. Absolutely. I've learned this the hard way. Okay? If you are not kingdom-centered and investing in kingdom purpose, somebody will take that right out from under. Because immediately, Herod had an agenda to find this child. And then later we find out that he killed all of the children in Bethlehem, five and under, or something like that. Oh, and yesterday I found out it was Darius with Daniel, King Darius. So anyway, keep going. So when it comes to this kingdom focus, you always have to have your boundaries. You always have to have the purpose that God has for you in mind. Your purpose is not your church's purpose. You have a purpose and it benefits the church. Does that make sense? You're not trying to be the church as much as you are trying to be faithful to him who has called you, Jesus Christ, and then you benefit the church. And the Magi were just doing their thing. And ultimately, it did benefit all of us. When it came time, and when the bottom dropped out, and Herod was like, come back when you have found him, they knew what to do. Not go back. They knew to disobey and not go back. And that's what we're going to get into today. When we stop ourselves, short of seeking justice. We all have that thing that God has called us to do. I don't think we all need to go after, be ahead of a pro-life group. We don't all need to be ahead of a trafficking program. We don't all need to, head up an environmental association. That is not. Groupthink is dangerous for this one. It's dangerous for the reason that I mentioned before. When you start to groupthink, subliminally, the whole group decides this is what we're going to do. This is what keeps our image up. This is what we are going to pursue. Inevitably, it's going to get derailed. But now wait. If you are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is where you're putting all your eggs in the basket, the right people will come beside you. And it will be the right time, and it will be the right destination, and you will not fall into pitfalls. But it's not groupthink first. It's Christ in me first. And that is the only way. Now, these men, they were a unit. And the Bible describes them as a unit. He didn't say, it was this person and this person and then this person. So I will totally give you that. After Christ's resurrection, and while he was on this earth, he saved, he healed, he reached individuals. This is the very rare instance where he's talking about a group of people. But notice how uniform, and not because they knew how to stay uniform. It was because their focus was the same thing. Prophecy and scripture being fulfilled, going after, and seeking to worship him who has come for the salvation of mankind. I want to say that adoration, that bringing gifts to the Lord, sacrifice, that Subjecting ourselves, seeking him out, if it falls short of seeking justice, it is not fully obeying. We were talking about how, you know, different groups of people, they went to the Oval Office and they were taking pictures with Trump and all this stuff. We know he's immoral. We know that he lies. We know that he divides. You know, you don't have to look very further than his Twitter feed. And he blames shifts and it's all their fault and all of this stuff. It's just continual. The issue with just loving, just being with, just praying for, the issue with that, if it stops at seeking justice, is not obedience. And this is what Bonhoeffer did, a Christmas song of Bonhoeffer, a poem that he wrote, if you want to know. I doubt you want to know. Anyway, I did that once. He's a hero of mine because he could not stop at seeking justice. Yes, he could have gone by. Yes, the Magi could have just gone back. Right? The king told them to come back. This wasn't like, you know, if it had been Hitler, Hitler would have hunted them down and killed them for not coming back. The king told them to come back, and they disobeyed. And this is what Bonhoeffer was faced with. Okay, I got all these ducks in a row. I have been praying. I have been seeking. I have been looking at kingdom living, kingdom-centered. And I have decided that staying in America isn't going to work for me. I'm going to go back to Germany. And you see the anguish in his writings. You see the struggle. He cannot avoid, sorry if I hit the mic. He cannot avoid this last step. Love. I think it's not really love until it seeks justice. Until it doesn't throw the small man under the bus. Because that's why we hate politicians, right? They make all of these promises. They appeal to the smaller man, to the one that's under the rails, to the one that's on the other side of the fence, the one that the have-nots. And the minute they get in office, it's like they don't exist anymore. And that should be the difference between, well, just politicians or anyone that's climbing ladders and us. We should not get out to a place where we groupthink and we stop seeking justice. Bonhoeffer never, I mean, he struggled, but he's like, no, I cannot claim. Hold on just a second. My kid ass is way too loud. We cannot claim to love our neighbor and not seek justice on their behalf. Now, they had a specific mission. And the mission that God's calling you to is specific. And you can't take all the reins. You can't do it all. But there is something the Lord wants you to. You know, and it really burdens me because I think it was Kirk Franklin who talked about how at the Dove Awards, he had brought up some justice issues, social justice issues, and they were erased or dubbed out or whatever, edited out of the final program. And yeah, there, it's honestly been one of those things, like, I don't want to get to a place where I stop seeking justice because it's going to offend somebody. And the real issue for me is forced medical procedure. Namely, right now, vaccines. And it is a huge hot topic. And, I mean, it's self-sabotage to talk about this stuff. But people are bringing dead babies home after their first checkup. We have the highest infant mortality rate. We're a developed nation, y'all. We should not have the highest infant mortality rate. But we do. We have allergies skyrocketing, cancer, and adolescent cancer. And they'll tell you the science is settled. Vaccines aren't the problem, you know, when it comes to autism. But that's only half the story. And you literally have to seek it out. You have to go outside of what's established medicine. What's not in bed with our government? That's where you have to go for your resources. But it's like every other pharmaceutical. They're like every other pharmaceutical. They've got all these side effects that they do tell you about, okay? But they don't tell you about the billions of dollars they're paying out for damages in private courts. They, you know, and Bonfer was like, no, they're not just being sent to work camps. They're not just being sent to work camps, y'all. And you can understand, like, he's crazy, you know, why we, you know. So we kind of skipped. We have social media, and so we're like, going to hash all these things out, and we really don't solve any problems. He could skip the social media part of it because it just didn't exist and go right to the problem, or attempt to go right to the problem. But the, you know, it was similar. It was similar. No, this is not benign. This has to be on purpose. You're shelling out billions of dollars in damages to these families who are now their child was normally developing, and now they're nonverbal, and they're hitting themselves against the wall. Something happened between their 3-month and their 4-month or 6-month checkup. This is real stuff, real. And I am not interested in Dove Awards or Grammys or videos or concerts doing concerts if it's at the cost of forgetting to seek justice. If I get to a place where I can just now groupthink and I do the CCM Christian thing now. And, sure, it's under the guise of, well, now we're the body. And it's that whole switch, right? It's not really about your relationship with Jesus and what he wants you to do. It's about now we do a body thing. And how that's defined, who knows? But groupthink is always dangerous. And the function, the body is his gift to us, not our gift to him, you know? So he's like, you can't be the body without me. Anyways, so let's keep reading and read that part again where they're just like, we're not going back. So this is verse 9, and we'll talk a little bit about Esther. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, and until it stopped. I'm in Matthew 2, verse 11. Verse 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back, they returned to their country by another route. Nope. Not gonna do it. So, Esther, she had, we all know the story of Esther. This relates to our topic. And when it comes to having wisdom, Proverbs is a good place to go to sort of develop an idea of, what wisdom looks like and seek for it. It's a spiritual gift. Wisdom is from the Lord. You can be the smartest guy, not believe in God, and the Bible calls you a fool. So yeah, this Richard Dawkins thing, or that's going around asking. My friend was just at one of his seminars, and like five hands went up when he asked who's religious, and he's trying to divide. I mean, that's the tactic. And so, even him, he denies God. The Bible calls him a fool. I was watching this. There was this video series that I was watching that I really enjoyed, and this is going somewhere. But I started to get a little nervous with this guy. I mean, I love information. I love to learn new things. I want the facts, but this guy wasn't giving me facts. He was. I noticed after a while that he would try to bring in our history or in the history of the world up these moral issues that could not be substantiated. Like, he would bring up all these inferrals. Like, it's inferred that he was gay, or it was inferred that she had this extramarital affair, where it wasn't, there was no sound evidence for it. But it was almost like he was trying to corrupt any sort of moral standard. And not just that. There was another time that I was really like, oh man, I know why I stopped listening to this guy, because he was giving the this he was talking so fast, and he was trying to spew out all this information. And I would say, what did he just say there? That's not right. And it was about, it was about dating, carbon dating, which I take up issue with. And, because it you have to have, anyway, side issue. But Proverbs talks about, and this is why you can go to Proverbs, the people that talk too fast, there's more hope for a fool than for them. And when you start to take in the wisdom that you find in Proverbs, you can it kind of puts character to what a lack of wisdom, or the fool, or the obstinate, or the scorner, what their characteristics are, what they take on, what they try to manipulate with, and you can use. It's like a tool book for, oh, I saw that shiftiness there. Or in this case, he was just talking fast, like hasty. What the stuff he's bringing up, I think it was, I don't think that's, I wait, stop. That's not substantiated information. That's just inference. That's like gossip. What he just said was, there's nothing there. There's nothing underneath that. Oh, he's trying to pull one over, is what he's trying to do. And often they don't know they're trying to do this. So this is, you're not battling a person. That's not what I'm trying to say by going to Proverbs. You're not battling a person. There are tactics the devil uses, and the Proverbs helps you identify it. That's all. But your enemy is never another person. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So Esther, our friend Esther, she had one thing she had to do. And there was nothing in the Bible that said she had to do it. But can you imagine? Because this, her King Xerxes, he was kind of bamboozled into making this law that in such and such amount of days, Jewish, you know, he and his provinces were vast. All the Jews could be killed. And right at that time, Esther's pretty much kidnapped, taken to the king, and the tactic was rape them, throw them in the shed, and if you want them later, you can have them. So that's pretty much the circumstances Esther found herself in. Get raped, get thrown in the shed. This is the plight of women throughout history. That's another topic. But God had his hand on her. And she wasn't thrown in the shed. Xerxes loved her. And then this law is put into place. And Esther realizes her kinfolk are going to be murdered, slaughtered in X number of days. Mordecai, her cousin, who is raising her, is distraught. And there she is with her platform. There she is with her privilege. There she is with her rights. There she is with her wealth. There she is with her beauty. There she is with her isolation. There she is with her prominence. There she is with her maidservants. There she is with her jewels and her gowns and her food on the table every day. And it's such a glorious picture of what she chooses. Hold on, I got issues here. She's got all this, and it's such a beautiful picture. She sacrifices it all to save normal, probably on, you know, Jews historically were just in a certain part of town. Not well integrated. These weren't the, they stood out. Misfits. Not probably one with the culture. They just kind of weird throughout history. She puts all of that aside. And her life, her very life, to seek justice on their behalf. And it was a done law. I mean, it was already shelved. Bookends. I mean, Xerxes didn't even know what she was talking about when she brought it up. She went through all the angst. Mordecai went through all the, you know, ashes and shedding of his clothes and wearing sackcloth and all of this stuff. And she's like biting all her fingernails off, wondering, you know, when's the right time and what to say and all this. And he's like, which law? I mean, it was already done. That thing that maybe Christ is calling you to is already done. People live with it. It's a thing. Ah, racism. Systemic racism. Ah, just the way we are. And you know, we don't even call it that anymore. We don't call it that. We just say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get a job. That's what we say. We don't call it systemic nothing. That could be it. That could be the, and it doesn't, it will ruffle feathers. It will ruffle some feathers when you seek justice in the area that God wants you to seek justice in. Absolutely. Absolutely. But what a beautiful picture Esther is. Nope. I'm not. You know, it for me, that would have been pretty hard. I'd have liked my caddy. I would have liked the room service, absolutely. And the clothes, I would have gone for that. And to just, what if she told Mordecai, well, let's just hope for the best, you know? Can you imagine that side eye Mordecai would have given her? Yeah, that's easy for you to say sitting in your glass cage. That's a warning to me, to you. Don't get into a glass cage where you can't see any problems anymore. You're just hoping for the best for everybody. Or you're just gonna pray it out, but not seek justice. Just love Jesus, but not seek justice, because it's not full obedience. Imagine if the Magi had been like, oh, well, yeah, we'll go. Yeah, he said we need to go, and so we got this pressure, and we want to get an image with him. We don't want him to, start a war with us later, so we're just gonna go out to have our cup of tea, and if something slips, we'll just hope for the best. No. Mm-mm. They listened to God. They did not go back. So, that's what we talked about today.
Over the